A Werewolf Romance Audiobook, written by Lillian Gerard. The day I saved the Alpha King's son was the day I signed my own death warrant. While every other Omega preened for the mating ceremony, I was in the nursery singing a forbidden lullaby to a child turning to stone. And when his little body went still in my arms, I knew I had to choose. Watch him die, or reveal the magic that would get us both killed. I'd been counting the days since someone last said my name. 43. 43 days of being the ghost in the nursery, the shadow that changed sheets and sang soft songs to a dying child, while the pack prepared for their precious ceremony below. The lullaby came from my grandmother, the one they burned for witchcraft. The melody slipped from my lips before I could stop it. Ancient words in a language that predated the pack laws. Leo's breathing would slow when I sang it. His tiny fingers would uncurl from their permanent fist. For just a moment, the black veins creeping across his skin would stop spreading. I told myself it was just a song, that I wasn't using that magic. But I was lying. I'd been lying for 6 years, ever since I'd watched them drag my grandmother into the center of the pack circle and set her ablaze for the crime of being a soul weaver, for the crime of healing without permission, for the crime of existing. Leo made a sound. Not a cough. Not a cry. A rattle. I knew that sound. I'd heard it the night my grandmother died, when the smoke filled her lungs and stole her last breath. No! My hands shook as I pulled him closer. No, no, no. Not yet. Please, not yet. His skin felt wrong. Not cool, like a sick child's skin. Cold, hard, like touching marble in winter. The stone was winning. Downstairs, music swelled. Drums, howls. The mating ceremony had begun. Alpha King Ragnar was about to bind himself to Lady Selene, the Elder Council's perfect choice. Beautiful, connected, pure-blooded, everything I wasn't. I'd loved him from a distance for so long, it had become a dull ache I'd learned to live with. The way he moved through the pack grounds with that terrible weight on his shoulders. The way his golden eyes would soften when he looked at his son, then harden again when he remembered Leo was dying and he was powerless to stop it. I'd memorized the shape of his grief, made it mine. Stupid. So stupid. Leo's lips were turning gray. Stay with me, I whispered, pressing my forehead to his. Please, sweet boy. Stay. But his chest barely moved. I made my choice. My hands began to glow. Silver light, soft as moonlight, poured from my palms. It felt like breathing after holding your breath underwater. Like coming home after years of exile. My grandmother's magic. My mother's magic. My magic. Finally unleashed after 6 years of suffocation. The black veins on Leo's skin recoiled from the light like living things. I pushed deeper, following the curse's path through his small body. It wasn't just dark magic. It was deliberate. Crafted. Someone had done this to him. Someone had woven death into a child's blood and watched him die slowly, over months. Rage fueled my power. I found the curse's heart wrapped around Leo's own, a parasite of shadow and malice. I began to unravel it, thread by thread, my silver light cutting through darkness. Leo gasped. His eyes flew open, bright and brown, and alive. Then the door exploded inward. Alpha King Ragnar filled the doorway like a storm about to break. He was still wearing his ceremonial robes, half-fastened. His golden eyes were wild. Behind him, the ceremony had dissolved into chaos. I could hear shouting, screaming, the crash of overturned tables. What are you doing to my son? His voice could have shattered stone. I didn't move my hands from Leo's chest. The curse wasn't fully gone. If I stopped now, it would snap back like a whip and finish what it started. Saving him. My voice came out steady, strange. I'd never spoken to the Alpha King before. Never dared. Don't interrupt me or he dies. Something flickered in his eyes. Shock, maybe. No one spoke to him that way. But he went still. Lady Selene appeared behind him, her perfect face twisted with disgust. She's a soul weaver. She's probably the one who cursed him in the first place. Kill her. Kill her now before she... be silent. Ragnar's command cracked like thunder. I pulled the last thread of the curse free. It came out of Leo's body like smoke, writhing in the air between my palms. For one perfect moment, I held death itself. Then I crushed it, silver light consuming shadow. Leo sat up in my arms and said, "Mama?" My heart broke. He'd never called me that before. He'd never called anyone anything. He hadn't spoken in 4 months. "I'm here," I whispered, pulling him close. "I'm here, sweet boy." Then the pain hit. The curse had one last trick, a trap for the healer, woven into its core. The darkness I'd pulled from Leo had nowhere to go but into me. It slammed into my chest like a spear. I felt it anchor itself to my soul, black roots digging deep. The same stone curse, dormant but patient, now living in my body. A time bomb. A guarantee that if Leo's savior was a soul weaver, she wouldn't live long enough to celebrate. I hit the floor hard. Leo screamed, "Mama! Mama, wake up!" The ceiling swam. Voices crashed over me like waves. Then strong hands lifted me, the smell of pine and earth and alpha power. Ragnar's face hovered above mine, his expression shattered. "What did you do?" I tried to answer. Couldn't. The black mark burned on my chest, right over my heart. I could feel it pulsing, waiting. "What did you do?" His voice cracked on the last word. "Saved. Him." Each word cost me. "Curse. Trap. It's in me now." His pupils dilated. Understanding and horror bloomed across his features in equal measure. "You knew," he breathed. "You knew it would do this, and you healed him anyway." I managed a smile. It felt bloody. "He's just a baby." Something vast and ancient moved behind his eyes. His hands tightened on me, gentle and desperate all at once. "Lord Valerius." Lady Selene's shriek cut through the moment. "She's bewitched them both!" The prophecy said soul weavers would corrupt the Alpha bloodline. "She's fulfilling it right now. We have to. The ceremony is nullified." Ragnar's voice dropped to a lethal calm. "I claim no mate tonight." Gasps. Outrage. The sound of a pack splitting in two. "You cannot," Lord Valerius pushed into the room, his face mottled with rage. Or fear. Or both. "That girl is a direct threat to That girl just saved my son's life." Ragnar stood, cradling me against his chest with one arm while Leo clung to his leg. "While your daughter stood by and called for her death. While your healers did nothing. While you all watched him die." The silence was sharp enough to draw blood. "She stays under my protection. In my private chambers. Anyone who touches her answers to me." He walked through the crowd like they were ghosts. Leo held on to his ceremonial robe, stumbling to keep up, refusing to let go. The pack parted before their Alpha King, but I could feel their hatred like heat. As Ragnar carried me through the great hall, I saw it painted on every face. I was the witch who'd stolen their ceremony, the outsider who'd corrupted their prince, the monster who'd bewitched their king. I'd saved a child's life, and now we were all going to pay for it. Chapter 2. The Price of a Soul. I woke to whispers and firelight. My body felt wrong, heavy, like I'd been filled with wet sand. The black mark on my chest pulsed with each heartbeat, a second heart made of darkness. The corruption is spreading. A woman's voice, clinical and cold. See here? The veins are already darkening. She has a week at most. Then heal her. Ragnar's voice. Ra. My king, she's a soul weaver. Our magic doesn't work on them. They're incompatible with pack healing. It's why we could never. I didn't ask for a history lesson. I asked you to heal her. Silence. Then softer. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. Footsteps retreated. A door closed. I opened my eyes. The Alpha King sat beside my bed in the dim firelight, his head in his hands. He'd changed from his ceremonial robes into simple clothes. His dark hair fell across his face, hiding his expression. He looked smaller somehow, more human. I'm not dead yet, I said. My voice came out like gravel. His head snapped up. For just a second, naked relief flooded his features before he locked it away behind that familiar mask of control. You should be resting. I've been resting. Where's Leo? Sleeping? In the next room? He wouldn't settle unless I moved your bed where he could hear you breathing. Something complicated crossed his face. He's been calling for his mama since you collapsed. He means you. The words hit different than I expected. Softer. Sharper. I didn't mean to confuse him. You saved his life. Ragnar stood, moving to the window. Beyond the glass, I could see torches. Dozens of them. A crowd gathered in the courtyard below. The pack is calling for your execution. I know. Lord Valerius is claiming you're fulfilling some ancient prophecy. That soul weavers corrupt alpha bloodlines. That you've bewitched both me and my son. He turned back to me, his golden eyes burning in the firelight. He's demanding I hand you over for trial. Will you? The question hung between us. Ragnar crossed the room in three strides and knelt beside my bed. Up close, I could see the exhaustion carved into his face, the weight of a crown that never got lighter. I watched you die tonight, he said quietly. I watched you pull a curse from my son's body and take it into your own. I watched you make a choice that will kill you to save a child you owe nothing to. His hand hovered over mine, not quite touching. Why? He's 3 years old. That's not an answer. Yes, it is. I met his eyes. He's 3 years old and he was dying, and I could save him. That's the whole answer. Ragnar's jaw worked. You've been caring for him for 6 months. I checked. Every day you were there. Even when the other nursemaids quit. Even when the healers gave up. You stayed. Someone had to. They all said you were simple. Slow. That you barely spoke. His voice dropped. They lied. I let them think it. Easier to be invisible when everyone thinks you're stupid. Why did you want to be invisible? I lifted my hand, pulled down the collar of my sleep shirt. The black mark sat directly over my heart, veins of darkness spreading like cracks in ice. Because of this. Because of what I am. Because 6 years ago I watched them burn my grandmother alive for healing someone without permission. I learned to hide. His face went very still. Your grandmother was Mirella? The soul weaver they executed for dark magic? She healed a farmer's daughter who'd been poisoned. Saved her life. They called it witchcraft and burned her. The old anger felt distant now, buried under exhaustion. So, yes, I've been hiding. badly, apparently. The farmer's daughter. Ragnar's voice went strange. That was 6 years ago. The same time. He cut himself off. What? Nothing. Just a thought. But his eyes had sharpened, calculating. Who brought the charges against your grandmother? Lord Valerius, head of the Elder Council. He led the trial personally. Ragnar stood abruptly, pacing. And Leo's curse appeared 4 months ago, after I announced I would hold a mating ceremony to choose Aluna. After Valerius suggested his daughter Selene as a candidate, I watched him piece it together, this brilliant broken king. Valerius orchestrated the curse, he said slowly, to force me to choose Selene. A slow enough curse that I'd grow desperate, that I'd marry his daughter to secure any chance at an heir. And if a soul weaver somehow saved Leo, his eyes cut to mine, the curse would kill the healer, covering his tracks, and making sure no one could prove it was him. The pieces fit too perfectly. He knew I was here. A soul weaver hiding in plain sight. He probably planned for me to try to save Leo eventually. But he didn't plan on you succeeding. Ragnar's expression turned feral. Or on Leo bonding to you. Or on me. He stopped. On you what? He looked at me like I was a puzzle he couldn't solve. Caring. The word hung in the air between us. A child's cry split the quiet. Mama? Mama, where are you? I tried to stand. The room tilted. Ragnar caught me before I hit the floor, his hands hot against my too cold skin. I've got you, he said roughly. Leo, she's here. The door burst open and a tiny body launched itself at us. Leo crashed into my legs, wrapping his arms around my knees, his face pressed into my stomach. You're awake, he sobbed. You're awake. You're awake. You're awake. I sank down, ignoring the pain, and pulled him into my lap. He was warm, alive, healthy. The stone gray pallor was gone, replaced by rosy cheeks and bright eyes. I'm here, sweet boy. I'm not going anywhere. Promise? I looked up at Ragnar over Leo's head. His expression was complicated, protective, and possessive, and something else I didn't dare name. Promise, I lied, because the truth was already written in the black veins spreading across my chest. I had a week, maybe less, but I'd saved him, and I'd do it again. The mob came at midnight. I heard them before I saw them. The crash of the outer doors. Shouts. The clash of steel. Ragnar was already moving, pulling on weapons, his alpha power flooding the room like electricity. Stay with Leo, he commanded. Lock the inner chamber. Don't open it for anyone but me. They're coming for me. You can't fight the whole pack. Watch me. But Lord Valerius's voice boomed through the halls before Ragnar reached the door. Alpha King, we demand a trial by pack law. The Soul Weaver stands accused of witchcraft and bloodline corruption. You cannot harbor her without judgment. Ragnar's hands curled into fists. She saved my son. She bewitched him. And you. The prophecy is clear. Soul Weavers are poison to Alpha blood. She must face trial, or you break the ancient laws. Your own laws. The silence stretched. I could feel Ragnar's rage like heat rolling off him in waves. If I refuse the trial, then you are no longer fit to rule. The council will vote to remove you. A coup, hidden behind pack law. Ragnar turned to me, and in his eyes I saw the truth. He was trapped. If he protected me, they'd take his crown. His son. Everything. If he gave me up, I'd die. No good choices. Just different kinds of ruin. Leo grabbed my hand. Don't let them take her, Papa. Please. Something cracked in Ragnar's expression. A decision made. We run, he said quietly. Tonight. The three of us. We leave the pack grounds and draw them out. Force Valerius to make a mistake. You can't abandon your pack. I'm not abandoning them. I'm saving them. His eyes blazed. Valerius is staging a coup using you as an excuse. If we stay, the pack splits. Civil war. If we run, the traitors follow us and reveal themselves. Then we end this. It was insane. An Alpha King didn't run, but in his eyes, I saw something I'd never seen before. Choice. Not duty. Not obligation. Choice. There's a text, he continued, speaking faster, in the sacred archives. My father mentioned it once, a way to break Soul Weaver curses. If we can reach the old temple in the Northern Territory, that's a 2-day run through hostile terrain. I know. His smile was sharp and dangerous. But I'm very motivated. The doors shuttered. The mob was trying to break through. You'd give up everything? I asked. Your crown? Your pack? For me? No. Ragnar crossed to me, tilting my chin up with one calloused finger. For my son. For my pack's future. For the woman who sacrificed herself without hesitation while everyone else watched. His thumb brushed my cheek. And maybe a little bit for me. My heart stuttered. Leo tugged his father's hand. I'm scared. I know, cub. Ragnar scooped him up. But your mama's brave. And I'm strong. And you're clever. Together, we're unstoppable. Mama, he'd said it like it was simple. Like it was true. We leave through the servant's passage, Ragnar said. Stay close. Stay quiet. When we hit the forest, we run and we don't stop. The door splintered. Ragnar grabbed my hand, and we ran. Chapter 3. The Fugitive Queen. The forest at night was alive with things that wanted to kill us. Not animals, worse, Valerius's hunters. I could feel them moving through the trees, silent as ghosts. They didn't howl, didn't announce themselves. Just stalked us with the patience of predators who knew their prey was wounded. Because I was wounded. The curse in my chest was spreading faster now, fed by exertion and fear. Black veins crawled up my neck, down my arms. Every breath was harder than the last. Ragnar noticed. Of course he noticed. We need to rest, he said, steering us toward a dense thicket. We need to keep moving. You're turning gray, Kira. We rest. He'd started using my name. I didn't know when. Sometime between fleeing the pack grounds and fighting off the first wave of assassins an hour ago, it felt intimate, dangerous. Leo was asleep on Ragnar's back, tiny fingers knotted in his father's shirt. The boy had barely made a sound during our escape, too terrified or too trusting to complain. We huddled in the hollow of an ancient oak. Ragnar positioned himself between me and the forest, his body a shield. Tell me about Soul Weaver magic, he said quietly. How it works. What it costs. Why? Because I need to understand what we're fighting. And because, he hesitated, because I've been an ignorant fool. I let the council tell me Soul Weavers were dangerous. Dark. Corrupt. I never questioned it. You watched them burn my grandmother. I was 17, newly crowned. My father had just died, and Valerius was my chief advisor. He said, Ragnar's jaw clenched. He said she'd used blood magic to poison the farmer's daughter. That the healing was a ruse to gain trust before killing her later. I believed him. She used flower petals and clean water. That's all. The girl was poisoned with nightshade. My grandmother made her vomit it up and fed her milk thistle for a week. Simple. Clean. No blood. No darkness. I know that now. His voice was rough with something that might have been shame. I'm sorry. The apology hung between us. Inadequate. Enormous. Soul weaver magic comes from life itself, I said finally. We can see the threads that connect living things. Heal by reweaving damaged threads. It takes energy, focus, time. The bigger the healing, the more it costs. I touched the mark on my chest. This cost everything. The text I mentioned, Ragnar shifted, adjusting Leo's weight. It's from the time before the pack laws, when soul weavers and alphas worked together. It says curses can be broken by the unified strength of a true mate bond. My heart stumbled. True mates? The magic requires alpha power and soul weaver power working in perfect harmony. Not just proximity, not just attraction. True bonding. Souls recognizing souls. He looked at me sidelong, his expression unreadable in the darkness. The kind of bond that takes time to build. We don't have time. Then we make it. A branch snapped somewhere to our left. Ragnar was on his feet instantly, silent and deadly. He passed Leo to me in one smooth motion and melted into the darkness. I held the sleeping child close, feeling his heartbeat against my chest. Strong. Steady. Alive. The sounds of a struggle filtered through the trees. A cut-off shout. The wet thud of a body hitting ground. Then Ragnar was back, blood on his knuckles, expression grim. They're getting closer! We need to move. How many? At least a dozen. Maybe more. He reclaimed Leo, settling the boy on his back with practiced ease. They're corralling us. Pushing us towards something. A trap. Probably. I forced myself to stand, ignoring the way the world tilted. So we spring it. See what Valerius has planned? Ragnar studied me for a long moment. You know, when I first saw you in that nursery, I thought you were just another Omega. Meek, forgettable. I know. I was catastrophically wrong. Something warm unfurled in my chest despite everything. Keep moving, Alpha King. You can compliment me when we're not actively dying. His laugh was quiet and surprised. Yes, ma'am. We ran. They'd chosen the sacred grove for their ambush. Of course they had. Poetic. Dramatic. The place where pack law was written in stone and blood. Lord Valerius stood in the center of the clearing, flanked by 24 elite warriors. His hunters formed a loose circle around us, cutting off escape. You've led us on quite a chase, Your Majesty, Valerius called out. But this ends now. Ragnar set Leo down gently, pushing him behind us. This ended the moment you cursed my son, Valerius. Everything since has just been me figuring out how to kill you for it. Valerius laughed. Such certainty. Such righteous anger. It's almost adorable. His smile was a knife. You have no proof. I have a soul weaver who pulled your curse from my son's body. You have a witch who claims she healed a curse she probably placed herself. Hardly credible evidence. Valerius gestured at me dismissively. Soul weavers have been corrupting our bloodlines for generations. Everyone knows this. My own great-grandfather was nearly killed by one. Lies, I said. My voice echoed strangely in the grove. Soul weavers were healers. Protectors. You slaughtered us because you feared what we could reveal. Oh, Valerius's eyebrows rose. And what terrible secrets do you think we're hiding? That half the Elder Council has been embezzling pack resources for decades. That you've been poisoning wolves who questioned you and calling it natural causes. That you cursed a child to seize power. I stepped forward, letting my silver light flare. I can see the darkness on you, Valerius. It's written in your blood. Every life you've taken. Every lie you've told. All of it. His face went purple. Kill her. Kill them all. The hunters lunged. Ragnar met them like a force of nature. His alpha power exploded outward, a wave of dominance that sent half the attackers to their knees. He fought with brutal efficiency, protecting Leo and me with his body while cutting through Valerius's warriors. But there were too many. A blade opened a wound along Ragnar's ribs. Another caught his shoulder. He was strong, but even Alpha Kings bled. I did the only thing I could. I wove. My silver light poured out like water, forming threads of pure magic. I couldn't fight, couldn't hurt, but I could protect. I wove a shield around Leo first, a cocoon of light that deflected blades and claws. Then I extended it to Ragnar, giving him a heartbeat's warning before each attack, letting him see the future in silver glimpses. The cost was immediate. The curse in my chest blazed hotter, spreading faster. Black veins crawled across my face, down my arms. I could feel my life unraveling, thread by thread. Worth it. All of it worth it. Ragnar fought like a demon, like a king who'd finally found something worth protecting more than his crown. But Valerius was moving, circling around to Leo. His hand glowed with dark magic, the same signature I'd felt in the original curse. No! I threw myself between them. The dark magic slammed into my hastily woven shield and shattered it like glass. Then Valerius's hands were at my throat, his power burning through me, unraveling my life thread by thread. You should have stayed hidden, little ghost, he hissed. Your grandmother made the same mistake, chose mercy over survival. Ragnar roared. The sound wasn't human. He moved faster than physics should allow, his alpha power gone beyond rational into something primal and terrible. He caught Valerius by the throat and lifted. You cursed my son, Ragnar said, each word sharp enough to cut. You forced this woman to sacrifice herself. You tried to take everything I love. Love. The word detonated in the space between heartbeats. Ragnar's eyes met mine over Valerius's shoulder, golden and burning, and desperately, impossibly honest. Hold on, he commanded. Kira, hold on. I wanted to. God, I wanted to. But the curse was winning. I could feel it wrapping around my heart, squeezing. The black veins covered my entire body now, turning my skin to stone. I was dying the same way Leo had been dying. Slowly. Inevitably. Ragnar dropped Valerius and caught me as I collapsed. His hands were hot against my freezing skin. No, no, you don't get to do this. You don't get to save him and then leave us. His voice cracked. I won't allow it. Not your choice. The hell it isn't. He pulled me against his chest, his heartbeat loud in my ear. The bond. The text said a true mate bond could break the curse. So we bond. Right now. Doesn't work that way. Has to be real. It is real. His hand cupped my face, forcing me to look at him. You think I didn't notice? You've been loving my son for months. Been loving me from the shadows even longer. I felt it every time you sang to Leo. Every time you looked at me like I was more than just a king with a crown. Tears leaked from my eyes. You were supposed to mate Selene. I was supposed to do a lot of things. Be a perfect king. Choose a perfect Luna. Follow the council's perfect plans. his forehead pressed to mine. But I don't want perfect. I want you. Stubborn. Brave. Beautiful you. Ragnar. I'm claiming you, under the full moon, in front of witnesses, as my mate. My Luna. My everything. His voice dropped to a whisper only I could hear. I'm choosing you, Kira. For me. Not for Leo. Not for the pack. For me. Because you make me want to be more than just a king. You make me want to be yours. Something shifted, deep in my chest, where the curse had taken root. A warmth. A light. The mate bond snapping into place like a key turning in a lock. I felt Ragnar gasp as it hit him too. The sudden, overwhelming awareness of each other. His pain. My pain. His fear. My love. All of it tangled together into something vast and unbreakable. Yes, I breathed. I accept. I claim you. I choose you. The bond ignited. Not a gentle warmth. A conflagration. Silver light and golden power erupted from where our skin touched, flooding through both our bodies. My soul weaver magic and his alpha strength, finally united, tore into the curse like starving wolves. The darkness didn't go quietly. It fought back, lashing out with every thread of malice Valerius had woven into it. I felt it trying to drag me down, pull me into death. But Ragnar's power was there, burning it away. And my magic was there, weaving his strength into something targeted and precise. Together we were devastating. The curse came apart. Thread by thread, I unwove it, while Ragnar's power burned the remains to ash. The black veins receded. The stone-cold feeling in my chest dissolved. And then, impossibly, I could breathe again. I gasped, sucking in air like a drowning woman breaking the surface. Ragnar's arms tightened around me. I've got you! I've got you! Around us, Valerius's warriors had frozen. The display of combined magic had been too much, too overwhelming. Even they could feel the power still crackling in the air between us. Leo's small voice broke the silence. Mama? Papa? Are you okay? Ragnar pulled back enough to look at me. His eyes were wet. We're okay, cub, he said roughly. We're all okay. Then he kissed me, soft and desperate and claiming all at once. A kiss that tasted like blood and tears and victory. A kiss that said mine in every language ever spoken. When we broke apart, the full moon had emerged from behind the clouds, bathing us in silver light. And Lord Valerius was running. Chapter 4. The Luna's Crown. We caught him at the pack border. Valerius had always been better at sending others to fight than fighting himself. When Ragnar's warriors, the ones loyal to their true king, surrounded him, he dropped to his knees and begged, "Please, please, Your Majesty. I only wanted what was best for the pack. Selene would have been a perfect Luna. Strong. Obedient. Everything a king needs. Everything you could control," Ragnar corrected. His voice was ice. "A puppet Luna married to a desperate king, with you pulling the strings through your cursed heir. I never meant for the boy to die." The curse was designed to weaken him, not kill him. Just enough to make you malleable, willing to accept guidance. You cursed a 3-year-old child. I stepped forward, my hand wrapped in Ragnar's. The mate bond hummed between us, warm and solid. You would have let him die rather than lose your grip on power. Valerius's eyes slid to me, calculating even now. You're proof of the danger, girl. Look what soul weavers did to him. He's abandoned his pack, run off with a witch, put everything at risk. I'm taking it back, Ragnar interrupted. My pack. My son. My life. All of it. He looked down at the cowering elder with something like pity. You spent so much time trying to control me, you forgot I'm still an Alpha King, and kings don't beg. The trial was short. With Valerius's own warriors bearing witness, with the evidence of his dark magic still staining his hands, the pack had no choice but to accept the truth. Lord Valerius, head of the Elder Council, had cursed the Alpha heir and framed Soulweavers to cover his coup attempt. The sentence was exile. Stripped of rank, of name, of pack bonds. Valerius would wander as a lone wolf until his death. Some called Ragnar merciful for not demanding execution. I called it strategic. A dead martyr could inspire rebellion. A broken exile was just a cautionary tale. But Valerius's allies still controlled half the Elder Council. They still held influence over large portions of the pack. And they'd made their position clear. They would not accept a Soul Weaver Luna. Which brought us to now. The Great Hall was packed to bursting. Every wolf in the pack had gathered, summoned by their Alpha King for a formal announcement. They expected him to denounce me. To choose a proper Luna. To restore order. They were about to be disappointed. I stood in Ragnar's private chambers, staring at my reflection in the polished silver mirror. I barely recognized myself. The curse was gone, leaving no trace except the memory of cold spreading through my veins. My skin was sun-warmed brown again, my eyes clear. Someone had dressed me in ceremonial robes, deep midnight blue, embroidered with silver thread that caught the light like stars. I looked like a Luna. I felt like an imposter. Second thoughts? Ragnar's voice came from behind me. I met his eyes in the mirror. Third? Fourth? Maybe fifth? He crossed to me, his hands settling on my shoulders. The mate bond pulsed with his steady certainty, trying to soothe my fraying nerves. You saved my son. Took a curse meant to kill you. Ran through hostile territory with hunters on your heels. Helped me defeat a coup. His lips brushed my temple. But standing in front of the pack scares you? Yes. Good. It should. His honesty was brutal and comforting all at once. Half of them want you dead. The other half just wants you gone. Very few actually want you as their Luna. Inspiring speech. I'm not finished. He turned me to face him. They don't want you. But they need you. They just don't know it yet. How can you be so sure? Because I didn't want you either. I wanted a safe choice. A political alliance. Someone who wouldn't challenge me or complicate things. His thumb traced my cheek. Then I watched you sing to my dying son like he was your own. Watched you sacrifice yourself without hesitation. Watched you stand between him and dark magic, like you were made of steel instead of soft skin and stubborn heart. Ragnar, you made me want more, Kira. Want better. Not just for me, but for the pack. For Leo. For all of us. His forehead pressed to mine. That's what a true Luna does. She doesn't just stand beside her Alpha. She makes him greater than he could be alone. The door burst open and Leo barreled in, nearly tripping over his own feet. Papa! Mama, everyone's waiting and they're getting loud and Uncle Marcus said some bad words and... He skidded to a stop, staring at me with wide eyes. Mama, you look like a princess. I knelt down, pulling him into a hug. I'm nervous, sweet boy. Don't be. He said it with such absolute certainty. You're the bravest person I know. You saved me when everyone else said I couldn't be saved. Out of the mouths of 3-year-olds. You're right. I kissed his forehead. I did save you. And I'd do it again, a thousand times. See? Ragnar offered his hand. Now come on. We have a pack to shock. The great hall fell silent when we entered. Ragnar walked in first, Leo at his side, both of them radiating alpha power and innocent trust. Then me, one step behind, chin up even though my heart was trying to crawl out of my chest. Every eye tracked my movement, calculating, judging, hating. I felt the weight of their stares like physical things, but I also felt Ragnar's presence through the bond, his absolute certainty, his unshakable faith, and I felt something else, something I'd never expected. Leo's small hand slipping into mine, the heir to the pack, the boy I'd saved, choosing me publicly in front of everyone who mattered. Whispers erupted. Shock. Outrage. A 3-year-old had just made a political statement more powerful than any speech. Ragnar took his place on the raised platform, Leo and me flanking him. His voice, when he spoke, could have cut stone. Members of my pack. Loyal wolves. I called you here to address the chaos of recent days. He paused, letting the silence stretch. You want order. You want certainty. You want a Luna who can restore stability to our bloodline. Murmurs of agreement. This was what they'd come to hear. You want me to choose someone acceptable. Someone pure-blooded. Someone the Council approves. Ragnar's eyes swept the crowd. Someone safe. More nods. They thought they knew where this was going. I'm not going to do that. The hall erupted. Shouts. Arguments. Someone threw something that clattered against the stone wall. The elder council members looked apoplectic. Ragnar didn't raise his voice. He simply let his alpha power flood the room until every wolf felt the weight of their king's dominance pressing down on them. The silence that followed was absolute. 4 months ago, my son was cursed by a member of our own council. A man you trusted. A man I trusted. His words landed like hammers. He turned a child into stone, thread by thread, and watched him die slowly to force my hand in choosing his daughter as Luna. Someone gasped. Others shifted uncomfortably. Every healer we had tried and failed to save Leo. Every powerful bloodline. Every skilled practitioner, every resource we possessed proved useless. Ragnar's hand found mine. Then a low-ranking Omega, a woman you barely noticed, revealed herself as the last surviving soul weaver and took that curse into her own body to save a child she owed nothing to. He pulled me forward, gentle and inexorable. This woman, Kira of no house and no rank, did what none of you could do. She saved my son. She survived a curse designed to kill healers. She fought beside me against traitors. She bonded with me as a true mate under the full moon. His voice dropped to something fierce and possessive. And now I'm going to make her your Luna. The hall exploded again. She's a soul weaver. The prophecies say they corrupt alpha bloodlines. You're choosing a ghost over proper bloodlines. This is an abomination! I felt each word like a slap, but I didn't let go of Ragnar's hand. An older woman pushed to the front of the crowd. I recognized her, Margaret, one of the pack historians. Your Majesty, the ancient laws forbid soul weavers from holding rank. It's been written for generations. The ancient laws also say that an alpha's mate is chosen by the moon goddess herself, not by council vote, Ragnar shot back. And unless you're claiming to know the goddess's will better than she does, I suggest you defer to her judgment. Margaret's mouth snapped shut. But the prophecy, someone else started, was a lie. I spoke for the first time, my voice ringing through the hall. Created by those who feared what soul weavers could reveal. We can see the threads of life, see the truth written in blood and bone. We can expose poisoners and traitors and liars. I looked directly at the remaining Elder Council members. That's why you wanted us dead. Not because we were dangerous to the pack, because we were dangerous to you. The silence was sharp enough to draw blood. Lord Valerius poisoned 17 pack members over the last decade, I continued. Called it natural causes, weak hearts, bad luck. I can see their deaths written in the pack's tapestry, black threads leading back to him. I can name them all if you want. Horror rippled through the crowd. Elder Thomas embezzled funds meant for the Northern Territory's winter stores. 3 pups died of starvation that year. My voice didn't shake. Elder Cordelia arranged her rival's accident during the last hunt. Elder Marcus, "Enough!" Marcus himself shouted. "You're making accusations without proof. Then submit to a truth weaving." I let my silver light flare, just enough that everyone could see it. "Let me read your threads in front of the pack. If you're innocent, you have nothing to fear." Marcus went gray, so did Thomas. Cordelia looked like she might vomit. Ragnar's smile was sharp as broken glass. "Well?" "The challenge has been issued. Will the honorable council members accept?" They wouldn't. Couldn't. Their silence was an admission of guilt. An older man stepped forward from the crowd, one of the warriors who'd fought beside us against Valerius. "I saw her magic save the young prince. Saw her take a curse that would have killed any of us. Saw her fight to protect him even when she was dying." He dropped to one knee. "If that's corruption, then corrupt me too. I'll follow a Luna who bleeds for us over one who bleeds us dry." Another warrior knelt, then another. The movement spread like wildfire. Not everyone. Maybe not even half. But enough. Enough that the dissenters couldn't stop what was coming. Ragnar drew me forward until I stood at the very edge of the platform, visible to every member of the pack. "This is Kira," he said. "She's been invisible for 6 years, hiding in plain sight, too terrified to use her gift because we made her afraid, because we burned her grandmother, because we chose fear over truth." His hand tightened on mine. "I'm done with fear. I'm done with councils who value power over justice. I'm done pretending politics matter more than the lives of my people." He pulled a circlet from his belt. Not ornate. Simple silver, woven with moonflowers. The same flowers my grandmother used to heal the farmer's daughter all those years ago. Kira didn't want this crown. Didn't ask for it. Would probably run if I gave her the chance. He turned to me, eyes blazing. "But I'm not giving you that chance. Because you're already Leo's mother in every way that matters. You're already my mate, bonded under the full moon. You're already the bravest person in this room." He held out the circlet. "The question isn't whether you're worthy to be Luna. The question is whether we're worthy to have you." My hands shook as I took it. Not because I was afraid, because I was finally, impossibly done with hiding. I placed the circlet on my own head. "I accept," I said clearly. "I claim the title of Luna. Not because your council approves. Not because I'm pure-blooded, or politically connected, or any of the things you thought you wanted." I met the eyes of every person who'd ever looked through me like I was nothing. "But because I bled for this pack's future when no one else would. Because I chose your prince's life over my own. Because I can see the rot in your leadership, and I won't stay silent about it anymore. I stepped forward, letting my silver light pulse with each word. I am Kira, last of the Soul Weavers, mate to your Alpha King, mother to your prince, and I will be your Luna whether you like it or not. My voice dropped to something deadly. And if anyone has a problem with that, you can take it up with me directly. I survived a death curse. I'm not afraid of you. The silence was deafening. Then Leo's small voice rang out, clear as a bell. That's my mama! He launched himself at me and I caught him, swinging him up into my arms. He was warm and alive and laughing, and he looked at me like I'd hung the moon just for him. Ragnar's arm wrapped around both of us, solid and protective. Your Luna has spoken, he said, and your Alpha stands with her. Anyone who wants to challenge that can step forward now. No one moved. Smart wolves. Then kneel, Ragnar commanded. Kneel for your Luna. The warriors who'd already knelt stayed down. Others joined them slowly, reluctantly. Not everyone. The Elder Council members stood rigid, furious. But enough knelt that the message was clear. The power had shifted. I looked out at the sea of faces. Some awed, some angry, some calculating their next move. And I felt something settle in my chest. Not certainty, not confidence, purpose. I'd spent 6 years hiding, being invisible, letting them think I was nothing, but I'd saved a dying child, bonded with an Alpha King, survived a curse meant to kill me, exposed a conspiracy, fought traitors. I wasn't nothing. I was their Luna. And heaven help anyone who forgot it. Epilogue. The ghost who became a queen. 3 months later, I stood in the nursery again. The same room where this all started. Where I'd sung forbidden lullabies to a dying child and made the choice that changed everything. Leo was healthy now. Vibrant. He'd shifted into his wolf form for the first time last week and spent 2 hours running in circles, drunk on the joy of it. His laughter echoed through the pack grounds constantly, a sound that had been missing for too long. He was in the garden now with his father, learning to track. I could feel Ragnar through the mate bond, patient, proud, teaching his son the skills he'd need to lead someday. I was alone in the quiet, looking at the empty crib. Still thinking about it? Marcus's voice came from the doorway. Elder Marcus, the one I'd nearly exposed in the Great Hall. He'd voluntarily submitted to a truth weaving the next day, letting me read his threads in front of witnesses. Turned out his crimes were smaller than I'd implied. He'd accepted bribes, looked the other way on some minor infractions. Enough to be wrong, not enough to be evil. He'd stepped down from the council after. Started working with me instead, helping identify which traditions needed to die and which needed protecting. Funny how nearly being exposed for corruption could motivate a person toward honesty. Just remembering, I said, the day you saved him. The day I stopped being invisible. Marcus moved to stand beside me, his weathered face thoughtful. You know, I actually did see you. Before? You'd sing to him when you thought no one was listening. Your voice. He paused. My daughter died when she was young. Car accident. Your lullaby sounded like the ones my mate used to sing to her. I hadn't known he'd lost a child. I'm sorry. Don't be. It was a long time ago. He touched the empty crib gently. But it's why I couldn't quite hate you, even when I should have been terrified of what you represented. You loved that boy when he was dying. That kind of love doesn't corrupt. It redeems. Footsteps thundered down the hall. Leo burst into the room, Ragnar right behind him. Mama! Mama, I tracked a rabbit all by myself. Papa said I was a natural. I scooped him up, spinning him once. Of course you are. You're brilliant. Papa says I get it from you. Ragnar's arms wrapped around both of us, his chin resting on my shoulder. That's right. Your mama is the smartest, bravest, most stubborn woman I've ever met. Is stubborn good? Leo asked seriously. When it means she doesn't give up even when everyone tells her to? Yes. Ragnar kissed my temple. Very good. Marcus cleared his throat. I'll leave you to your family, Luna. Luna. 3 months and the title still felt strange. Heavy. But it fit better every day. After Marcus left, Ragnar turned me to face him. The new council wants to meet with you tomorrow. They're proposing an official pardon for all surviving soul weavers, inviting them back to the pack. My heart stuttered. Are there others? We've found 3 so far, hiding like you were. Terrified. But word is spreading that the Luna herself is a soul weaver, and the sky hasn't fallen. His smile was soft. You're giving them hope. Tears pricked my eyes. I never wanted to be a symbol. I know. You just wanted to save one little boy. Leo squirmed and Ragnar set him down, letting him run off to play with his toys in the corner. But you became more. You became proof that the old ways were wrong. That soul weavers aren't corruption. They're healing we desperately needed. I leaned into him, letting the mate bond wrap around us both. Warm. Solid. Real. I counted the days, I admitted. Before. When I was invisible. Counted how long it had been since someone said my name. How long now? His voice was gentle. I lost count. I smiled against his chest. Someone's always saying it. Usually you, or Leo, or some pack member asking me to weave them a healing, or check their threads, or teach them about soul weaver magic. Too much? No. I pulled back to look at him. It's perfect. All of it. Even the hard parts. Even the council members who still hate me. Even the political nightmares and the responsibility and the weight of this crown. Why? Because I'm not hiding anymore. I touched the silver circlet that now felt like part of me. I'm not counting days. I'm living them. Ragnar kissed me then, slow and deep and full of promises. The kind of kiss that said forever and meant it. When we broke apart, Leo was watching us with a slightly disgusted expression. Are you two being mushy again? Extremely mushy, Ragnar confirmed. Gross, but Leo was grinning. I held out my hand and he took it immediately, trusting and sure. Come on, sweet boy. Let's go be gross together as a family. We walked out of the nursery together, the Alpha King, the Luna who'd been a ghost, and the prince who'd been dying. 3 people who'd saved each other in different ways. Behind us, the empty crib stood silent, a reminder of where we'd been. But ahead of us, through the windows, the pack grounds stretched out in afternoon sunlight. Wolves training, playing, living. A pack that was slowly learning that soul weavers weren't monsters. That their Luna had earned her crown in blood and magic. And stubborn, impossible love. I'd spent 43 days being invisible before Leo's curse forced me into the light. Now I couldn't imagine going back to the shadows. Not when I had a mate who saw me completely. A son who loved me fiercely. A pack who was learning to trust me. Not when I'd finally stopped hiding and started living. The ghost had become their queen. And she was never disappearing again. The end.
Meet our cast, so you remember them. Thank you for joining us in this amazing episode. If you enjoyed the story, please tell us in the comment section. Tell us where you're listening from, your favorite part, and emotional moment. Please subscribe to support us. You're important. do turn on the notification bell so you don't miss out on the next story. We would love to see you again.